right now, it's Mary Morgan Smith. Hello.
Good morning.
It's nice to see you. I feel like I only see you once a year.
That's pretty much the only time you do see me.
But it's still a good...
But you can always invite me back. I'm more than happy to come.
I'd love to have you back. Mary is the one of the inventors of the Three Rivers Storytelling Festival. I think you're co-founder or founder?
Actually, co-founder. I call it Sandra Collins, who was the library director at the time, was really important.
And the Storytelling Festival is coming up August 5th, 6th, and 7th. And this is part of a three-week series we're doing to preview the Storytelling Festival because we think it's that important. The spoken word has been part of the human condition for thousands of years. And it's going to be celebrated at Schenley Plaza in Oakland, August 5th, 6th, and 7th. How did you become enthusiastic as a storyteller?
When I was a very young librarian, one of the jobs, I was a children's librarian, and one of the jobs that I was supposed to do was to tell stories. I was not trained as a children's librarian in library school, but Prince George's County Memorial Library System trained me. And I was terrified because I was always one of those people who, when they got up on stage, turned bright red and just stuttered. I don't do that anymore because one of my colleagues tricked me into doing a story for a Halloween program. And she said, don't worry, you'll be in costume. The lights will be low. Everything will be very easy. Just be some kids here. No big deal. Well, when I got there, there were 200 people in the room. About a third of them were grown men. And I told a jump story. A jump story is the kind of story where at the very end, you say something very loud and sort of poke at people so that they jump. Nobody told me that this is a very dangerous kind of story to tell. And because if they don't jump, it really falls flat.
Oh, right. You just end and everyone's kind of going, ooh.
But it worked. And those grown men jumped.
Wow.
How could I not keep doing it?
How old were you?
Let's see, about 24,
roughly
20,
in your 20s, early 20s. Wow, that's it is something. I was always very nervous to do things like that. In fact, even though I had overcome a lot of that through early days on the radio in my teens and early 20s, I can remember giving a speech. I was at Howard University. I was maybe 23 or 24, and I got the biggest bit of stage fright. It was odd. I could do really well in front of a group of maybe 12 people or so. I would sometimes become tongue-tied talking to one person if it's somebody I didn't know very well. And I would also feel that way in front of a huge audience. And these days, I think as you get older, too, you just start to not be self-conscious about things.
Well, one thing I learned is that it doesn't matter what the audience is. Most of them want you to do well.
Mm-hmm.
They want to like you, and they want to enjoy themselves. So if you go into it with that attitude, it's a lot easier.
Yeah, that's very true. And they're there to see you or to listen to you. The other thing, and this is why getting involved in storytelling might be something that you would like to do. Mary will tell you about some opportunities, because if you are a teacher or an executive or a small business owner, even an attorney, and you're looking at ways to sharpen skills for connecting as you speak, organizations like StorySwap can help you, and other storytelling guilds that are here in the Pittsburgh area. You learn some techniques, and it can really be helpful.
Yeah. Kathy Marinwood, another storyteller, and I taught storytelling at the University of Pittsburgh for a while. And one of the things that we taught everybody was people are going to want to listen to you, and don't worry if you don't get it perfect, because one of the joys of storytelling is that it's live, usually, and you make mistakes, you stumble, you forget something, and it still works out very well.
One of the things I often mention, too, is that the mistakes you make are typically never detected by anybody else. And also, you, when you are on stage, you have the worst seat in the house. You see all the flaws of your own performance. You know everything. You are in the exact opposite position of those who you are trying to entertain or educate. So you kind of need to check that at the door and simply enjoy yourself.
It really does happen to everybody, because I was once in a concert with Paul Simon.
Really?
I think I've been to 7 of them.
I did, yeah.
And
you were attending. I thought you meant you were on stage. No,
you would not have had me say that quietly. I would have been screaming it from the rooftop. But we were enjoying ourselves, and he was singing one of the songs he had been singing for 20 years at that point, and he forgot the words. He had to stop singing, and fortunately for him, everybody in the audience knew the words, so we sang them for him. And it worked beautifully. It made the performance that much better.
Yeah, it's funny. You can just get these periodic, your brain sort of freezes, and you wonder what it is that's going on. Well, we're going to give you complete details about the festival coming up. You might want to grab some notes to write down. But we're also going to have Mary Morgan Smith share a story today. I have no idea what it's going to be, but I've opened my ears, and I'll just turn it over to you.
You're so brave to let me just pick one like this. This is a story I just started telling a little bit ago, but I really, really like it. Long, long ago, far, far away, there was an emperor who was a good, kind, and just emperor. And what he loved more than anything else in the world were flowers. He had a huge garden, and he loved his garden so much that he actually worked in it. He got down on his knees and dug in the dirt and everything else. He really loved flowers. It was important to him. And because of that, flowers were fairly popular throughout his country. But one day, he realized that he was getting on in years. He had never married for whatever reason, and he had no children. But he wanted somebody to succeed him who would be good for the country. So he had a thought, and he called all of the children of his country to come to the palace one day. And they brought their parents with them, and that's when the emperor made the announcement that he was going to distribute seeds. And the children were supposed to take them, grow the seeds into plants, and then bring them back the following year so that he could look at them. And from that, he would judge who would be the best person to be his successor. Well, there was one boy in that country who loved flowers at least as much as the emperor did, and he was really good at it. I have a tendency to kill plants. I love them dearly, but they just, I just can't take care of them. This kid, though, I swear, if he looked at a plant, it would start to smile. And everything he touched grew lush and beautiful and fabulous. And so his parents were thinking, and he was sort of thinking too, wow, this is a great opportunity. I'll get these seeds. I'll grow the best plants possible. And then everything will be perfect. He was so excited he could almost not stand still. The emperor's men went around the crowd, and they distributed the seeds. And everybody took them home. And the boy took his seeds home too. And when he got home, he got a very nice little flower pot. He put some very fresh soil in there and prepared it absolutely perfectly. And then he planted those little seeds, and he watered them gently. And he nurtured it and took care of it and watered it lightly and talked to it, sang to it, and nothing happened. Nothing. Well, he thought, maybe there's a problem with the pot. So he dug the seeds up. And he got a different pot, slightly bigger, fresh soil and everything else. And then he began to plant that and to nurture it again. And he took care of it. He talked to it. He sang to it. But nothing grew. And he kept this up all year long. And no matter how many flowers he'd grown before, the seeds that the emperor gave him, they just wouldn't grow for him. And he was really disappointed. Partly because then he wouldn't be emperor eventually, but even more so because he was embarrassed. He was supposed to be good with flowers. If he's so good with flowers, how come he can't get this plant to flower? But the day came when everybody was supposed to bring their plants back to the palace, and they did. And the emperor had them walk past him as he looked at them. Now, the little boy didn't even want to go because he was so embarrassed about the empty pot that he had. But his parents said, "You tried your best. You worked very hard on this, and you did the absolute best you could do. So you go, and you show it, and if anybody asks, you can explain what happened." And so he did. He was very much at the back of the line because he really didn't want to do it, but he was doing it because his mother kept shoving him. And when he got up to the emperor looked at his pot, this empty pot that had a little bit of dirt in it, but no flower. And he said to the boy, "Where's your flower?" The boy said, "I'm sorry, but no matter what I did, I could not get this flower to grow. I tried everything, and I'm usually very good at it, so I'm very sorry that I couldn't get it to grow, but I just couldn't get it to grow." And that was when the emperor started to smile. And his smile got bigger and bigger, and finally he took the boy and brought him up beside himself. And he said to everyone there, "This young man will be my successor. Because all of those seeds that I handed out had already been cooked. There was no way any of them could grow. So that all these hyacinths and roses and lilies and everything else that you've brought before me, I don't know where you got them, but it was not from my seeds." And this boy was honest enough to admit what he'd done. He did his very best and it didn't work, and he said so. And that's the kind of person I want to succeed me. And that's a story that's called The Empty Pot.
What a great story. I didn't see that coming at all. That's what's nice about stories, right? They sneak up on you.
Well, sometimes you do see them coming, and that's part of the fun, too.
Yeah. Yeah, you wonder. That reminds me of, it's not really a story, but sort of an anecdote. Somebody's hiring somebody. And they said, "Well, what would you do if I asked you to move a refrigerator by yourself? Could you do that?" And if you said yes, you weren't hired. The correct answer was, "No, that requires two people to do it." I had a friend who had a job interview 2 weeks ago, and apparently these kinds of questions are becoming common. He was asked, "If you were part of a bicycle, what part would you be?" And there's a lot of interesting answers they consider with that. I don't know what he answered.
I'd like to be the bell because it makes a lot of noise.
The bell. I think I'd like to be the reflector.
Ooh.
Because I would like to reflect all that's around me. But I suppose you could answer, you know, the brakes, or I could see that being a question. And what I wanted to tell my friend who mentioned this to me was, I said, I guess the HR manager didn't have his or her Rorschach kits with her that day or with him that day. So you can hear stories like this. Who are going to be telling stories?
Well, for us, first off, we're actually going to have some storytelling at Shenley Plaza next Saturday in the evening. Yeah, we've been doing some things with Shenley Plaza because the Pittsburgh Parks Conservancy is really the group that's been helping us out with that location. And it's a terrific location. We've never had a spot before that we had public transportation nearby, and this is good. But so for a couple of weeks, we've been having storytellers there to do performances. Next Saturday, on July the 30th, at 6:30 p.m., we will have a group of local storytellers there, including me, who are going to be telling stories about Pittsburgh.
Oh, how nice.
Or set in Pittsburgh. There's some, almost every tall tale character, except for maybe Paul Bunyan, seem to have passed through this area at one point or another. Mike Fink is probably one of the best known, because he actually was a real person who lived in Pittsburgh.
I don't know about Mike Fink.
Come next Saturday, you'll hear his story.
At Johnny Appleseed, I think, would be one.
All those orchards that we have in this area, he planted them. John Henry was just down in West Virginia. And, of course, there's Joe Mazurek.
Yeah.
The king of steel.
So these will be in Shenley Plaza. Will they be in the building?
Be under the tent, yeah. The same as the festival will be. They're not all going to be tall tales like that, but there'll be different stories that some have something to do with Pittsburgh. The story I'm going to tell is about the place that was the most haunted house in America at one time, and it was right here on the north side.
I don't know anything about that either.
Oh, it's a goodie.
This is something you're going to want to consider going to. So this is Oakland. It's coming up on the 30th, Saturday. Mm-hmm. What time does it start?
It starts at 6:30.
6:30. And we've linked to the website, by the way. It's the numeral 3RSTF, like Three Rivers Storytelling Festival, .org. I just put a picture of Mary up on our Facebook page, along with a link to the website. Plus, you can just go to slbradio.org if you need a link to get there. Who are some of the, one of the things that folks might not know about is there are storytellers who tour the country who
yes.
are nationally known. Interestingly, quite a few come from West Virginia, where storytelling is a way of life.
Yeah, West Virginia and I think Eastern North Carolina are two of the hotbeds of storytellers. The three featured storytellers that we have this year, Adam Booth actually is a young man who's just getting started in the storytelling field, but he's good enough that he was at the National Festival, and he is from West Virginia. We almost think of him as a local boy.
Yeah, his name's really familiar to me.
Then there's Antonio Sacra, and he is from California, which is a lot farther away. Then there's Kim Whitecamp, who when I first knew her was from, I think, Virginia or something like that, but she has recently moved to West Virginia. So these are three outstanding storytellers that are hired all over the country, and we're very fortunate to have them. Kim was here a few years ago. And what most people remembered is that whenever she was telling a story, they were laughing so hard they had trouble hearing. That's what we're looking for.
So there's also going to be a youth concert mm-hmm. Taking place. And, you know, if we can, we would love to record that for Youth Express.
Oh, we would be delighted.
And we could maybe broadcast it here. To when and where is that?
Okay, that one, the youth concert is going to be on Friday, the first official day of the festival, August 5th, and it will be at the Carnegie Lecture Hall in Oakland, which is sort of just beside mm-hmm. Shenley Plaza. And the Carnegie's helping us out with this. They're the ones who are helping us get the space. And this is the best part. Because of the Grable Foundation, who is truly wonderful, that show for children is free.
Oh, that's terrific.
We can do it absolutely free so that we're inviting daycares, we're inviting groups, we're inviting parents. It doesn't matter if you've got kids or even if you don't. Come on anyway.
And these are the featured tellers.
These are the featured tellers.
So it's not youth telling stories.
No, not this time.
Okay. Yep. But that would be great to do sometime
too. Warming up for that, though, we're actually going to be in
Market Square.
Market Square. Yes, thank you. On Tuesday of that week. Sort of warming everything up because we're going to be part of that Market Square Tuesday kids program.
Yeah, we've done that too. That's with the Pittsburgh Downtown Partnership, and mm-hmm. that's a great opportunity to get folks to know. And Mary Morgan Smith is with us now. We just have about a minute or so left. It's so exciting. This takes a lot of work. And, you know, the folks at the Grable Foundation, Carnegie Library of Pittsburgh, the Pittsburgh Downtown Partnership, the Pennsylvania Council for the Arts, Greater Pittsburgh Arts Council, and Pittsburgh Parks Conservancy have helped you to grow this into a national caliber festival. It's really a lot of fun.
It is an enormous amount of fun.
And the big days, August 5th, 6th, and 7th at Shenley Plaza in Oakland, right in front of Carnegie Library's main branch. Anything else you'd like to mention?
Well, you're going to be having people come next week
yeah.
and the week after, so I want to leave something for them, but I want to give a little bit of a preview for the workshops. You mentioned learning about storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
And you also mentioned using it in business. It doesn't work for kids to use it in business very well because they're not usually involved in business that much. But for any adult who is involved in a business, particularly if they're involved in a non-profit business, We are having a workshop on Friday afternoon with Kim Whitecamp, who has been hired all over the country as keynote speaker and as everything else in terms of how to use storytelling to get your message across to people. Because even for storytellers, it's hard for, we know how wonderful the Storytelling Festival is. The idea is to be able to actually let other people know and that they understand it. And she's really good at that.
Look for information at 3rstf.org, the numeral 3. Mary Morgan Smith, thank you for being here with us.
Well, thank you for having me. It's always fun.